Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie.
And I'm Art Malin.
And welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Bob Schuster down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and I also had a chance to talk with our local DNR fish manager, Max Walter, and then lastly, some bow hunting tips from Brooke Torstenson. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Get the biggest off-road savings of the year during the Polaris factory authorized clearance at Hayward Power Sports. Claim rebates up to $4,000 and financing as low as 2.99% APR on high-performance RZRs, legendary Sportsman ATVs, and Ranger, the world's best-selling utility side-by-side. The selection is great, but won't last long at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77. Offer valid in the U.S. through 9/30/17 on new vehicles. Subject to credit approval. See dealer for details. Always wear a helmet. Never drink and ride.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of brats, sausages, and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky for fall hunters and anglers, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and Sundays 10 to 3. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward.
Summer's hot, and so are the prices on our entire pre-owned inventory at Timber Ford of Hayward. Hi, I'm Amy Belkey, and I invite you to visit us and save big on this summer's hottest deals. Like our 2011 Hyundai Sonata in excellent condition and only $94.85, or our 2008 Chevy Suburban priced to sell at $19,995. Check out our 2012 Jeep Liberty Sport, only 70,000 miles and a low price of $15,995, or only $280 a month. Hurry in for huge savings at Timber Ford.
We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and Art, as we're talking here, it really seems to be that the fall is really starting to show its signs.
Yeah, really, if you walk outside, just look.
Water temperatures are dropping, and the fishing is starting to show signs of fall, too.
It is, John, and as you said, the water temps are dropping, air temps are dropping, and it's just a fantastic time of year to get out there.
Well, Bob, you know, down here at the bait shop, I know you guys are all geared up for the fall, too, and we're already starting to see it.
Again, as we move into the fall fishing and hunting, your serious fishermen, I'll say, you know, they start showing up, and it's shaping up to be a good one.
I think it's going to be a better one than usual. I really do, because it's been such a strange summer.
Absolutely.
I mean, we had so much feed in the lakes. You talk about having difficulty getting some species of fish. Well, it was difficult.
Yeah, you know, it was. It would change.
Lots of bug hatches that kept appearing throughout the whole summer. And, I mean, when that food base is there, you're competing against Mother Nature, and they can swim around with their mouth open.
Well, you know, the interesting thing I found all through August, Art, was that, you know, my crappie fishing out in that deep water was really affected by a lot of them bug hatches, and some days it would be better than others. But the one thing that wasn't affected, it didn't seem to be, was the walleye bite I had going in 8 and 10 feet of water and weeds, and that was consistent. We were getting we're pounding the walleyes every night.
Well, they're bigger fish. They eat more. And
they're not in the weeds. The bugs aren't in the weeds as much.
Well, there must be something there.
Well, in meadows and stuff there, but it seems like they're not as affected.
I guess, John, there's got to be some kind of bug hatch that was there, which brought in bait fish and smaller panfish, perch, and bluegill, okay, and that's the food base for those walleye. So the dinner bell was going off, and obviously there was something there for them to eat.
Well, a lot of people I talked to, though, had better success shallow than deep.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah. Weed related, 10, 11, 12 foot, I heard lots and lots of reports.
Well, you know, as far as coming into the fall here, what do you suspect we're going to see as far as the musky fishing?
That's going to pick up like it always does. As the temperatures drop, those fish know that winter's on its way, so they start bulking up. And so I'm guessing, again, I agree with Art. I think just because of the strange summer, I think that the fall is going to be really, really good, and I think it'll be good for muskie.
And you'll be heavy fish.
Well, you know, it's that time of year when the females are starting to load up, and they
making
need,
eggs.
That's right. They're making eggs, and they need protein, and the protein comes from what they eat.
Yeah.
So it's, and that's not, that's true for walleyes too.
Yeah, well, the walleye fishing will start to pick up pretty good here as we get in.
And the crappie bite, quite honestly, John, in the fall can be some of the best fishing you'll see.
You bet. You know, I agree with that because I, you know, we got the Chippewa float, which is nothing short of spectacular in the size structure in there. And there's a lot of other lakes that are good, too. I know Teal is loaded with crappies, but they tend to be smaller.
Sisabagama, there's, as you said, there's a number of lakes. Couderay's got some monster crappie on it as well. And Round and Grindstone are a little harder to fish, but they're in there.
Bob, you know, down here, you guys are all geared up for the fall season. You got a lot of new stuff this year in here. Store's way bigger than it was last year.
Yeah, with the addition, and which was much needed because we were pretty cramped, but the addition of Matthews and our building of the archery section and a little more fall hunting, we definitely needed the space. And as we're talking here, it will be just a short period of time, and out will come the ice shacks and the ice gear. Yeah. I know we shouldn't be talking
about that. Let's not run too far ahead. We got the hunting season to worry about.
But blank, it'll be here. So,
well, I know for archery, I mean, you guys are actually a very good pro shop here. You got really good Votex and top of the line equipment.
Yeah, we do. And there's a number of our staff that just recently took a trip down to Matthews, and we were trained in down there, and we'll continue that on to be able to service the customers.
And I don't know, how many feet long is that wall of muskie baits, just in case everybody asks? Got to be, what, 75 feet anyhow?
Well, with the two end caps, it's close to 90.
90, yes. Well, that's the biggest out there. Bob, I want to thank you for coming on here.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Art.
And Art, we're going to take a break and hear from more of our fine sponsors. We come back, we've got an interview with Max Walter again, and more on your outdoors.
Hunters and anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in the Hayward area. Stop in and check out the huge selection of fall muskie, bass, walleye, and panfish tackle. They also carry archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, scents, tree stands, and much more. Gear up for the fall at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And while you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Hayward Power Sports provides you the ultimate fishing experience with Lund Boats. Lund's exclusive IPS hull provides precise boat control and a soft, dry ride, no matter how rough the water is. Add in Lund's state-of-the-art live wells, ultra-comfort seats, and ample storage, and you're ready to fish like a pro. Plus, Lund Boats hold their value like no other. I'm Johnny, and I want to show you the ultimate fishing experience with a Lund from Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77. Or call us at 715-462-3674.
Big fish stories come to life at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. The world's largest shrine to the freshwater angler boasts a 4.5-story tall walk-through muskie that's a half a city block long. It's like taking a peek into Granddad's old tackle box with thousands of mounted fish, antique outboard motors, and historical sport fishing artifacts. Stop in and take a chance on a 2017 $18,000 Alumacraft boat powered by a 50-horse Mercury outboard sponsored by John's Motorsports in Hayward. See the big ones that didn't get away at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, Highway 27 and B in Hayward. Open daily from 9:30 a.m. till 4 p.m. If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, call myself, John Myrie, at 715-462-9402.
or Art Malin at 715-865-2336, or you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com, and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors with myself, John Myrie, and co-host Art Malin. And, you know, we're talking about things getting out there, walleyes. We were just talking about walleyes and the walleye management strategy and what's happened over the last few years. You know, and lakes like the Chippewa Flowage, I could remember when it was, had lots of little bitty walleyes in it and some big ones. And then it, when I came here, it started going downhill, and now it's back to where it's got tons of little ones and a lot of nice walleyes in it, strictly because of the management.
Well, the management's changed, and that's great. I think the other thing that really happened in our state was when Governor Walker decided to put millions of dollars into the walleye program. That was great for our state. That
was great for extended growth fish.
That's right, and that was great for our whole north areas, especially, I think.
Well, I'll give credit for that starting out when it first started out, though. The Walleye for Northwest Wisconsin was one of the first ones, and they were getting them not from the state, but they were getting from fish farms, extended growth fish, and that caught on, and the state started doing it, too.
Yeah, it was pretty obvious that the state was kind of in a sling that wasn't working. Well, but you know, when change occurs, that's the nice thing. Change occurs. Change has occurred in the DNR. The DNR today is different than it was 10 years ago, I think, personally.
Well, let's hear what our local fish manager, Max Walter, has to say about walleyes, walleye management, and stocking. It's an interesting interview. Max, you know, one of the game fish up here that's always popular, and, you know, we really had some problems going on, you know, and we're still working on trying to solve some of the problems, but it's not just here. It's Minnesota and, I guess, Michigan. Sometimes they're having problems. But what we've been doing has been making some differences from the stocking to the regulations, a little everything.
Yeah, it is a big problem, as you mentioned. We just had a meeting this summer over on Mille Lacs, a lake that's unfortunately gaining a reputation for some of the issues they're having over there. And we had fisheries biologists from all over the country and even coming from Canada, and everybody's seeing this same kind of problem that we have here locally, which is issues with walleye recruiting and getting new walleye to come into our systems naturally. So you mentioned, you know, we're doing some stocking, we're changing regulations. We're taking a variety of approaches to try and counteract that to the extent we're able to. And we're about, I think, 5 years now into the walleye initiative, which increased funding availability for stocking, specifically extended growth walleyes, revitalized a lot of our hatcheries. And so we now kind of have a feel of how our lakes are responding to that. And some of them are responding really positively. Chippewa Flowage got some of those fish. They've done very well there. People are catching a lot of walleye in the chip, which is great to see again. Big Chetak is one they've done very well. Teal Lake is one they've done very well. So we definitely have some local success stories where that stocking is making a difference and people are having some good fishing.
Yeah, you know, and I'm seeing the same thing out there. I'm doing better on the trip than I've done for years out there. Just a lot of small fish, and I think that the other factor is there are some things that we couldn't control. Some of the things that maybe had to do with climatic changes or weather or just the year or whatever. Some of that stuff was beyond your control, but things that are within your control are stocking the extended growth fish. And walleyes are his own worst enemy, in the fact that even Al Lindner said once he's his worst enemy because he tastes too good. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we need to have more people thinking about how many fish they're going to keep and how many they're going to release. And for those that won't go by that, that's where the regulations come in. And I think the regulations is something I've been proponent of that for 25 years. We needed slot limits and size limits that actually enhance our walleye fishery.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we're not to the point where we want to treat these fisheries as a put-and-take stocked fishery like we would do with a trout pond, where we raise a fish in the hatchery, put it out in the lake, and it's only there for a limited amount of time. It gets caught, it's done, that's the end of it. We want to be putting these fish out there, giving them a chance to spawn, giving these populations a chance to bounce back and be what they were before. I'm not going to guarantee that that's going to happen. Everywhere, we're starting to see some positive signs on some lakes, but you know, you mentioned that there's a lot of challenges that walleyes face now. the regulations are just part of a larger strategy to at least give them a chance to start reproducing again. And that's when we have our best walleye fishing, is when they're reproducing. They're generating a lot more young walleye than we can ever stock effectively.
Right.
So we've seen a little bit of reproduction come back on the Chippewa Flowage. We've seen it come back on Windigo Lake. We're starting to see some, you know, glimmers of hope in other places too. So I'd like to think we can start getting them humming again, but it may not happen everywhere. I want to prepare people for that.
Well, I know that in all of the years I've been doing the radio and I've interviewed some of the top walleye tournament guys, the one thing that I have had that's come back to me by several of them that was, they've never fished or what they consider a real good walleye fishery that was managed with a single size limit, like a 15-inch minimum or a 13-inch minimum. It's almost always been with some kind of a slot limit or something. And I think, you know, that probably, it actually makes some people put back some of the fish that they might have considered keeping, and it just makes the fishery work better.
Yeah, we like the slot limit we have going right now. I know, particularly in the case of the Chippewa Flowage, which didn't have a length limit for a long time, every walleye was legal up until a few years ago. There's been an adjustment period for some anglers, you know, catching a 14.5-inch walleye, one you would have gladly harvested a few years ago, now it's got to go back. I think we're starting to see the population grow into that limit a little bit, and there's more keeper fish being caught this summer from all reports that I'm hearing, and that's a good thing. So hopefully anglers are happy with that, but it also does just what you said. It's protecting some of those sizes that are really important to making that fishery function. The 20 to 24 inch protected slot protects a lot of our prime spawning age females. And then the 15-inch minimum, you know, it gives those fish a chance to grow and become a little bit more of a quality-sized fish before somebody takes them home to eat them.
You think we'd have probably been in better shape years ago if we'd have had these slot limits enacted maybe 30 years ago instead of today?
You know, it's hard to say. It depends a lot on the situation. If we're talking just about the Chippewa Flowage still, you know, 30 years ago there was so much reproduction going on that, you know, the regulation Frank had on, I think, was the right move. It allowed harvest of a really abundant resource at the time. As the population density started to drop, Frank, myself, Dave Neuswanger, everybody kind of recognized that that was a change we were going to need to make, and maybe it took us a couple years too many to get there, but, you know, we're there now, and we're seeing some positive things. I guess I couldn't say that changing it 30 years ago would have changed the outcome of what's happened here.
But, you know, the one thing I will say is, in discussions with Frank years ago, is that he did say that he put the size limit on, no size limit, and on moose in those lakes to encourage the harvest of smaller fish. The equation there is you're not leaving out the factor of the greed factor, that I'm not going to keep that 12-inch or 13-inch fish when I can keep that 16-inch fish.
I see what you're saying. So you would have, you know, you're talking about maybe modifying a slot in the other direction to kind of allow harvest of the small ones. Yeah, and that's, you know, something we've had on grindstone for a while, and it's working fairly well. So, yeah, something like that might have been a good idea back in the day.
But in any case, right now, we can't use hindsight. We got to look ahead, right? And we're looking ahead, and what we're doing right now or what you're doing right now is making a difference. And actually, with all the organizations that are helping as partners and kind of in the setup, you know, the lake associations and the walleye club and stuff, that's all helping too.
Yeah, it's a team effort here always. When we can't get to a lake, we have a lot of stocking resources right now. We don't cover everything. We have lake associations that are stepping up. Walleyes for Northwest Wisconsin. Muskies Inc. is still doing great work in the community on the muskie side of things. And then when there's just kind of a general fishing project, like the handicap pier we built on the Chippewa Flowage a couple years ago, everybody comes together for that, which is great. And everybody volunteers for Fishing Has No Boundaries. So, yeah, this community, I think, is unmatched as far as the interest people have in fish and fishing and the time and money people are willing to invest in it.
Talk about the stocking this year, though. Something happened out there this year. I mean, they normally hatch those fish out in the spring, and then they put them in the fall after they feed them. This year, they had to put a portion of them in early.
Yeah, you're correct, and people who are out on the lakes may have even noticed this. Typically, what we're stocking is 6 to 8-inch fingerlings in September and October. You know, long story short, I won't get into all the nitty-gritty details, but there was an issue with the supply of minnows to the hatchery. We get them from private dealers, and basically kind of a few things didn't end up working out this year, so we had to make a tough choice about letting some of those fish out of the hatchery early. Otherwise, we just simply weren't going to have the food to feed them. So we put them out as 4-inch fingerlings in August. Interestingly enough, that's a strategy that's been used successfully in the past, so I in no means am considering those to be lost fish. I think they'll actually have a pretty good chance. There's a lot of food out there for them right now, so we'll be monitoring that. Certainly not an ideal situation, not what we planned on, but you know, raising fish in hatcheries is just like farming. Conditions change, and you kind of have to make decisions sometimes on the run.
You know, when it was brought to my attention by people I actually guide, that was one of their criticisms of us. Why stock them in the middle of a heat spell when that water temperature was 80? But you said the ponds are at that temperature anyhow.
Yeah, you think about where these fish are being raised. They're ponds that are less than 10 feet deep. They're lined with black plastic a lot of cases. So the water temperature there is warm. Fish certainly can be more susceptible to stress in warm water. But again, you know, this was a tough situation where the choice is stock them out and give them a chance, or you know, they're going to starve because we just don't have the food in the hatcheries to feed them due to some unfortunate circumstances. Not something I'm anticipating happening every year. And we've had good luck with the walleye initiative up to this point. Just, unfortunate circumstances.
I would imagine that those fish that were stocked were well oxygenated anyhow when they come off the truck.
Oh, yeah. I mean, our hatchery guys, those are their babies. They take care of those fish, and they coddle them, and, you know, they want to make sure every one of those fish gets to the lake in the best condition possible. So we have some great staff locally here at Governor Thompson, and you talk to those guys in July and August when all those fish are out there in the ponds, and they're a ball of nerves because they're worried about those fish and about their well-being every day. These guys take their job very seriously. They're very passionate, and the resource really benefits as a result.
I understand that only part portion of the fish, though, was stocked. There's still a bunch of them that are going to be stocked in September, October.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, we didn't, you know, we still had enough supply of food for the hatchery that we didn't have to put them all out. We just had to put out a portion. So there will be quite a few lakes that are still stocked on their normal timing with their normal size of fish in September and October. And that includes the muskies, too. People might be wondering about what's going on with the muskies. The muskies were all held into the hatchery. They're still getting food. We got a big batch of fish that's destined for Lacuna Ray. Muskies Inc. is going to be feeding them some extra forage. We got a project. We're trying to get the muskie fishery going in that lake again because it's such a historic population with such exceptional growth potential. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, you know, that is a weird thing with me is that Lacuna Ray, they stocked a whole lot of adult fish in there out of butternut. Didn't seem to work. I mean, it just... the population has just went down and the muskies in there. Yes, there are some fish in there, some big fish in there, but not the numbers that we saw back in the 80s through early 90s.
Yeah, I mean, we've been watching the decline in almost in slow motion over the last four decades, maybe five. There's a whole separate conversation here, but, you know, we want to do some things to try and counteract that slide. And what we're going to do here is make a big push over the next 5 years, starting this year. To see if we can move the needle and start to get that population up again as far as abundance. We know they'll grow once we get them out there. So, you know, we're looking at trying to manage the pike population a little bit better and take out some of their competitors. We're trying to work on the habitat in conjunction with the Lacuna Ray Lake Association, try and get them spawning a little more effectively again. We're doing some different stocking strategies, which I mentioned, and trying to put out bigger fingerlings. That's something we did on the triple flowage last year. And the early returns appear to be very successful, so we hope it works as well in Lacuna Ray.
Well, Max, it's been interesting talking to you here. I want to thank you again for coming on here.
You bet. Glad to get some information out there to folks.
Well, Art, you know, Max is always interesting as I get a chance to corner him here. We need to take a break right now and hear from more of our fine sponsors. When we come back, I've got a little interview that I'll run with Brooke Torstensen from down here at Hayward Bait and Bottle. He's one of the boat techs. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
Check out OC Outfitters for all your fishing, hunting, and camping needs this year. They're ready to get you out on the lake with everything from rods and reels to licenses and live bait. Come see their Columbia clothing for men, women, and children. They have a full line of shirts, rain gear, shorts, and jackets, and they have new rifles, shotguns, and handguns to choose from. New this season, a propane filling station. That's OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open 7 days a week. Phone 715-634-1044.
Are you in need of marine service? If so, call Earl's Marine, located on County K between the Big Lakes. Earl's Marine is a local Johnson Avenue authorized sales and service representative. Need a boat lift? Earl's Marine handles shore station. Need a boat or a pontoon for a few days? Just call for rental information. Since 1966, Earl's Marine has provided outstanding marine service to this area. For outstanding service, open 7 days a week for sales with a mechanic on duty Monday through Friday. Call Earl's Marine today at 715-634-4783.
Attention pet owners! Dr. Ostrander is excited to announce the addition of veterinarian Dr. Abby Stoll to the staff of Hayward Animal Hospital. Dr. Abby comes from a family with a strong veterinarian tradition. Her grandfather, brother, and cousin are all veterinarians, and her father is an elk biologist. She has a passion for animals. Dr. Abby is intelligent, experienced, kind, and compassionate. Come meet this extraordinary woman at Hayward Animal Hospital, located on Highway B.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and co-host Art Malin. And Art, you know, we're coming up really quick here on the bow season. As this airs, it'll be a few days away.
Yeah, I think, what is it, 15th?
16th.
16th? That's not too far from now.
Right. Well, I had a chance to talk to Brooke Torstenson down here, and Brooke had some tips for, you know, for beginners and people getting out and bow hunting. So let's hear what he had to say. Brooke, when it comes to bow hunting, you know, what are some of the things a person should try to get right the first time out there if they're new to it or whether they've been bow hunting for a long time?
Make sure you get a bow that fits you and it's set up specifically for you. You can always play with somebody else's bow, but it's not set up for you. There's too many components to a bow that are determined by your size and your strength and your eyesight. And it's very important just to do it right the first time and then just a lot of practice. Practice, practice, practice.
More than just, a bow is not just a bow. I mean, you've got to be set up right for an individual to shoot correctly to start with.
Yes, it does. I mean, your sights are going to make a difference. Your style of shooting, if you want to use a release or fingers, will determine what type of bow you can use. And it's what you feel comfortable with. And it's the only way you can try is to try out a few bows.
And that necessarily doesn't mean you have to shoot a 70-pound bow. You can shoot a lighter bow, whatever. I mean, you don't need that all that draw weight. I shot 50, 55 pounds for years and shot a lot of deer.
Preferably, yes. You stay at a poundage that you feel comfortable. There's no shaking in your arm and shoulder muscles. And whatever's comfortable for you can actually practice quite a bit. If you try to be a he-man and pull back a lot of weight, you're not going to be able to practice very often.
How about the types of arrows and broadheads and that type of stuff? Is it just a preference choice or...?
Primarily, it is a preference point choice. However, there are certain broadheads that fly better with certain arrows and bows, and that's something that you just have to keep on trying out, and we can make recommendations, and we'll see what can work for you.
You know, it just, you know, each individual bow shoots different things better. It's just like a gun. One gun might like one kind of ammunition, but a bow might like one kind of arrow better, you're saying.
Right. And actually, with your poundage, will determine the size spine on your arrows that you're going to use, the type of arrow. You can't shoot certain arrows with certain bows. So we can help you out with that, too.
Well, thanks for taking the time here.
Thank you.
Well, it was interesting and talk about a little bit about fall fishing here, Art. Now, you know, we got fall fishing. I know you got a couple of things first, though, you want to mention.
Well, you know, the Sawyer County Record has kind of changed their hook and bullet section. I say hook and bullet section because that's the section where Steve Suman is kind of getting things organized. There's a lot of information. If you don't get the Sawyer County Record, you really might consider it. I'm looking right now at the outdoor calendar for August and September. Very interesting information. The big thing that's going on right now is for the birders is the bird migrations. The bird migrations are just absolutely crazy. And they're, I can never figure out, John, those little birds, born, boom, suddenly they fly to South America. How can that happen? And the other thing that's happening right now is the hummingbirds are kind of going away. But don't take your hummingbird feeders in just because it's last week was Labor Day. Keep them out for a while because there's all stragglers that need some help.
You bet. Well, you know, I mentioned fall fishing. We got fall hunting. We got fall fishing. It's time to start thinking about getting ready if you aren't ready.
Well, you should be ready. There's, like we keep saying, John, so much to do, so little time. I've noticed in the morning, it's darker earlier. In the evening, it's darker, quicker.
But you can do more than one thing in one day. You can hunt and fish and do combination stuff, too, if you get the time off.
A lot of people do that, and I think a lot of people that come up north do that, probably more so than we do.
I see it quite a bit. You know, we're out of time for this week, Art. I want to remind people that if you miss a show, they can get that show on our website. It's podcast on the Internet. You go to the website, wnoradio.net, and you can link to the podcast. Anyway, we're out of time for this week.
Take a little one hunting or fishing and create just a little hunting or fishing monster.
And remember, the show airs on Saturday and Sunday, both on WHSM, WHSM, AM, FM, and the Cabin FM. So
what's the time?
At 8 o'clock on Saturdays and 9 o'clock on Sundays. Anyway, we're out of time for this week, and we'll see you again next week.
Listen with me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.